Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Dante Hill. He's an early Renaissance poet. I don't know if he lived in France, but he wrote a poem called Dante's Inferno, which was really Renaissance and critical in the birth of science. So it's it's a review or lectures about his poem, which led Galileo in on a path of exploration. There were problems associated with the Inferno, physics problems, which sort of sparked modern science. So it's a very important thing. And so lots of people quote from it, lots of people paintings from it. Things which are really unknown. So there's a kind of people, science fan fiction that have come on, popular in the Renaissance. One of those Francis Bacon, which was actually a blueprint for the Royal Society and America, a rationally based society, one hope, but sort of a neo fantasy religious one. So this is a religious fantasy, and it's got seven domes of seven circles of hell to go down, and the earth is circular, so people made certain assumptions from it. And in the age that the church was really about looking at prophecies, this was so out there, high up nobility that it sort of came in. So what I say is sort of like Game of Thrones, HBO style thing. So I'm going to give you a basic rule. Now the issue is that it is it's got several reveals and suspense and battles with different and it's a sort of mashup of ancient belief, ancient things like similar to Game of Thrones. I was trying to think Percy Jackson, Half-Blood, that type of stuff, but set in the Renaissance, or mixed in with religion and God. Sort of, it's sort of like nowadays we wouldn't allow this, but it's sort of got a mix in there. And it's from this age where there was no television and people lived sort of on the edge of darkness and fear. And you can imagine at night, a Renaissance anywhere in the Renaissance with no electricity, no lights, would be a fairly dark and scary place with animal cries and not much traffic sound. It would be a pretty sort of place. Now, because it's got this complex structure, there are flashbacks, and if I was going to podcast this in the way that Dante had said it, there'd be no way that you could understand it. Now, the way that Dante said it, it is interesting. It's got reveals. Oh my God! And then you have to go back and forth. And if you can imagine sort of this cross stitching, it's just not going to last in this podcast. So I'm going to do the dreadful thing of starting off in chronological detail and having no surprises in it whatsoever, which I have to apologize. So we have God, right? He's there anyway. It starts off with the young Dante. So it doesn't start off with young Dante in the poem. It's the most dramatic, fearful thing, and you ask questions, and then he answers those questions. And now I'm going to give those answers straight away, so there's going to be nothing really interesting in this story whatsoever. So Dante starts off as a young kid. His father loves counting money. He's a very greedy, I think so, yeah. And he accuses his mum of, Dante's mum, of stealing money, bashes her up. And so Dante watches this family violence, and she dies of quote-unquote fever. But in fact, she decides to take her own life and dies and leaves the Dante there with her brother. They grow up, and they're living happily somewhere in Italy as the Crusades start to build up. And he and his brother, well, he falls in love with the love of his life, Beatrice. This fairly beautiful girl, and they get up to a little hanky panky, but she says, look, I'm going to give you this cross, and this will really protect you. So that's your sort of utility belt. So, like in your pop fiction, Batman had all this thing, he had his special cross, and inside it had a cross, the original thorn, it had a relic cross. It wasn't a normal cross, it was a cross with the thorn of Christ. So this would be Kmart cross. This would be a department store exclusive Michael Hill jeweler's cross. And this is a little bit extra to it. So he goes off to the crusade. Before he goes off to the crusade, he goes up to the bishop, and the bishop says, here's in advance, this crusade is going to be a pretty awful thing. We are going to give you a complete absolution of any sins you commit. We're going to give you a forward casting absolution. Now, there's a bit of question about whether this actually does work. Dante, who's going to be join the crusade, says so. So they go up, there's Saladin, and they bash, take up Jerusalem, take a whole heap of prisoners, and Dante's asked to guard the prisoners. There's one prisoner who's been bashed up. The wife, who's also been captured, said, look, if I sleep with you, Dante, will you let go of this person? Yes, if you can sleep with me, I will sleep with you, and I won't bash up this person. Then at the end, this the wife comes out, and he goes out, and he said, did you actually sleep with Dante? He says, yes. Okay, I'm really pissed off. I'm going back up to kill Dante's family. As this is the original Sigma 11 type of style themes. Not before Dante does another sequence of action of, we're running out of food. I know what we're going to do. We're going to kill all our prisoners. And of course, when he kills all the prisoners, Dante is sort of Abu Ghraib style of things, killing all Middle Eastern people. Richard the Lionhearted says, look, this is pretty crap, and we'll have to hang everybody. And so what happens is they capture Dante and another accomplice. They're both going to hang, and so the accomplice says, well, look, what I'll do is I'll take all the blame, so they only hang me rather than two people. So Dante gets back, and he has to make a run back for Beatrice, because Beatrice had a threat to him. And there's sort of this complex thing coming on. I think I've got it. In the meantime, Beatrice gives birth to their son, who dies really quickly, and the son dies before it can get baptized, important things like this. Then we come in at the start of where Dante starts his tale. And of course, what I've said before is going to be revealed in sort of what? And of course, there's been a whole lot of people who've done bad things. Now, the brother has also done something bad. I can't really remember what it is. And so Dante comes home, and he's going to get lost in the forest, finally comes across the old house, and to his horror, someone who's been following him there has got this is the person, the husband of the wife that he picked up, so he did not torture the husband at this time. So there is a story. So it turns out that Dante has actually caused Beatrice's death. And at which Beatrice is. And remember, Dante's got a magic cross. Okay. at which this horseman comes along and takes Beatrice's soul, which was going up to heaven, but no, some sort of contract is, and she Beatrice is going down to hell. And so, Dante follows the horse, and the horse travels along, and it starts to go through these gates, the gates of hell. This is where actually it's so. Now you've got to think that's linear, but I can't actually go because he's got every piece of history, Francis, Caesar, Cleopatra, all the prophets, everyone in heaven is in this hell. So it's action packed full of people, including some key characters, which everyone he knows is already down there in hell for various reasons. And he goes along, and it would be very boring if it's just, and now he opens this, and now he's actually meets Virgil, the poet, who died before Christ, but predicted Christ was going to be there, and knew all about Christ, and so for some reason, Virgil's there, and Virgil, who's a Roman poet, which is popular and read. So you can imagine this is sort of Game of Thrones meets Disneyland meets Discovery Channel type of. I don't know what I was going to say. Rock. So Virgil's in there saying, look, in the first place, there's and there are seven circles, and each circle has a thing for you to kill, or it's all like gaming levels go down, and it is an inferno, except the problem with this inferno is that the very bottom one is treachery. So you start off with the limbo, so he goes around limbo's pretty awful place. This is the entry, and then he goes into limbo, but to go into limbo, this is where souls which haven't been classified yet, people who die before they have a chance to even, if they tell you about Christianity, and the moment they tell you about it, you're either damned or you're saved. If they don't tell you about it, you go into limbo. So you have to go to limbo. He has to cross the river Styx. So there are three rivers in hell. Check that out. There are three rivers, and it's all underground. And as people were just trying to do the setting for it, they realised that we're really living on the outermost layer of hell. So there's actually 10 layers of hell, and the top layer of hell is Earth, and the demons and evil stuff is happening up the top. The first layer is limbo, and he's rocking around the place, and he goes, what's this? This is my unborn child. Oh, shit. Oh, I've done it there. And all the time, Beatrice is going, I'm going down, Dante, I'm going down. And so drawing him ever more. And Virgil is not a mortal man. He's just a shadow, a spirit. So he can't actually do anything but guide him. So he goes down through limbo into lust. And they discuss, Dante's lust life and stuff like that. Beatrice is a great person. Lust. Limbo, lust, gluttony, which is eating heaps of food, and in the gluttony layer, he sees Florentine, and he says, look, you're actually the guy, I'm going to pray for you, use my magic cross, and save your soul. And of course, he gets saved, the soul gets saved, up through the roots of hell, up to heaven, and of course, the devil who's organising is not too happy. He goes down to greed. He encounters his father, who's gluttonous, or stories of his father, but the father appears again in greed, and the father has been contracted by the devil to kill Dante for 1,000 years, explicit torture, and a few extra things involved, and they have a big battle. He fights and kills his father, then goes down level, so there's greed, violence, treachery's the traitor, being a traitor is the lowest level. There's a level for people who commit suicide. He commits suicide. He sees his mother suicide. Brother is violence. I think the brother was including the violence for killing all the unarmed prisoners and stuff like that. And they have to do battle at each point. And there are various rivers he goes down and goes down further down into hell. There's obviously 9 layers of hell. 9 because it's a religious belief. There's 9, 3 ranks and 3 choirs in each rank for heaven. So there's a whole, like, a religious fantasy is going on at certain levels, and St. Thomas Aquinas got a religious fantasy up, and then Dante also got sort of religious fantasy. This is damn good. It's not literal, but it's religiously inspired. So you can read it without obviously being burnt in hell for reading this. This is for like Mills and Boone and stuff. Now, as it's coming along, that's right. There's a layer of hell above treachery. I can't quite remember what it is. I've just seen the animation of it. And the process is that in order to procreate, Lucifer has said, "I want to marry you, Beatrice, so you can have my evil devil children, so that you can populate the world with you devil people." Beatrice says, no, I'll never do it. Oh, what's this? Did he actually sleep with another woman? Oh dear, and that's why I got killed. I really hate you. I think I'll get married. Marry you, devil, anyway, and have your devil children. So, and the devil goes, ha ha ha, Beatrice, you are so pure and so nice. I've taken you down here, but now I've tricked you for my plan. This is what was big news in the Renaissance. They had about 4 books in the Renaissance, and this is about the trashiest of them all. And what's his name? Dante comes in, sees Beatrice. Beatrice is now a devil, and he says, "What I'm going to do, there's lots of toing and froing. What I'm going to do is I'm going to forgive you for everything with my super cross," and the super cross makes her forgive him. And forgiving him was, oh my shit. So she is sort of taken up, but sort of a strange way. Her soul is taken up. We don't know where it's going to go, but it sort of is taken out of the place. Beatrice, by doing an act of Christianity, or forgiving of not a husband, they haven't been married yet, but a wayward person, an unchaste, Dante being unchaste. So you can imagine all this, oh my god, and he killed so-and-so, and he met, he goes down to the 9th layer of hell, which is Inner Inferno, completely cold and icy. Inferno, icy. I can imagine in a cinema, in Renaissance cinema, saying, "Hang on, on the ticket it says Inferno, that is completely cold." And in the completely cold thing, the traitor tells him how to get there, and he goes and sees Lucifer. And what Lucifer does is says, well, the 9th level goes even deeper down. Now, this again is another problem. It goes down into purgatory. So purgatory is this space. Look, I must admit, I don't know the difference between purgatory and limbo. Limbo is where unborn children go. Purgatory goes I think purgatory is goes where you stay for a certain while. Yeah, that's purgatory. Is limbo is when they can't put you anywhere. It's in either heaven or hell. You're not judged. You're just there as a soul. Purgatory is essentially you can't go to heaven if you're very pure. But if you've committed enough sins not to be not to go to hell, you know, to get there, you'll go to purgatory for a certain while. And if Christians pay for you enough to get out of purgatory, well, this is what I was taught when I was at the Jesuits. They pray for you enough, you can actually get out of purgatory and go to heaven. So purgatory is a holding place where you, go to hell, you're not going to heaven, it will keep you in purgatory for a while. Now, purgatory is a Christian, a Catholic Renaissance belief. I think the Renaissance Church of England people have given away, so this would be a bit confusing. So, the devil says, look, you can fight me, and Dante fights him, and by actually hurting the devil, which is hard to understand, he allows the devil to break free of the ninth level of hell, and he's going to go into purgatory and destroy the entire universe by creating creating complete absolute mayhem, chaos, and destroy life, everything. Oh, Dante, you've tried to get Beatrice. Beatrice is not with the devil, but has disappeared. And so this is gone. And the devil's about to go jump into purgatory, which has got an entrance to heaven. Whatever it is, so this is highly conceptual. He's going to get out there and do his devil work, and destroy chaos, destroy the universe. Oh no, what can you do? You got your cross, you pray, and you say, look, I am very sorry. To God, please stop this happening. I will agree to stay in here forever. Oh dear, that's really good. God sees this and says, I know, I follow this, although the audience and no one else can. What can happen is, devil, you have to go back up onto the ninth level and you can fall into purgatory. In purgatory, he goes and then spends the rest of eternity with Beatrice, neither alive nor dead, sort of a bit like Twilight, like vampires and stuff like that. And that's ends the entire thing. So you've got God, a whole series of sex scenes, fighting scenes, a bit of the story of the Crusader, sort of like the Vietnam. I'm sure the Crusades were a bit like the games and stuff. Completely crazy. And these Renaissance people going, people going, oh right, we've got to get funding, we've got funding, what are we going to do? And the people who are just completely whack running the place saying, now that's a good book, that is a good read. And I've been told by someone who's really dependent on my money that it is also very good, and it's sort of like hand waving, could be possibly good, could be religious, definitely not necessarily true, but inspired in some sort of way. So there's a level of inspired inspiration. And of course, these people came up with these models of hell, you know, how big this could actually go. And Dante has been down, obviously, the poet has been down there, but know it. And so, this is where people came in. There are some people explaining these two ways, but if you gave a lecture on it, you get a huge amount of audience who are damn interested. If you told them about real science, Renaissance style, you know, here's my little magnet, or here's this happening, people would not understand what's going on. They just find this just insane. Now, I think I don't think Dante's, I'll have to find what language it is, Dante's Inferno is written, it could be written in Latin, or I think it was written in, it would be really interesting if it was written in Latin. So give up all hope, you go there. So there's a lot of a lot of stuff which has gone into our society, I think the cycles of hell, there's 9 circles, so to speak. There's a whole lot of religious stuff. But as it became what people believe, the pundits moved into it, it sort of created this dispute about calculations of this fictitious place to which people could have their say, that there was no experimental proof of it. So it was just open slather. And it's this sort of semi-insane world that people were living in at the verge of the Renaissance coming forward, trying to do it. So you've got these things which got the science of scales, got the idea of calculations being applied to things, the idea that geometry could be applied to something which is just a big view. It's a similar type of thing, trying to work out if that was crazy. Aristotle was crazy as well, trying to work that out. Got you a whole lot of pre-scientific facts, sort of science. Science didn't suddenly go flash. Science had this very slow birthplace, and a lot of the time it wasn't actually structured on solving a practical problem. It was solved this madcap version. So that's, unfortunately, Dante's Inferno. And the bottom line is that Dante's Inferno really is best told in the way that Dante tells. It's sort of like telling you someone's, kind of like a news report on a Shakespeare's play. In this play, in Hamlet, it's set in Denmark, and it's mad, everyone dies, and that's it. That's pretty much all everyone. And your man's dressed as a woman, type of this sort of classic theme. And here is the idea of a noble knight, the person saying, who is like believing something to be too good to be true. That he is far in advance. He is pre-absolution. For sins that you no doubt will commit on the crusade. Sort of this idea that there is this sort of woolly aspect to it. So that's very interesting. And I'll at some stage have to read this essay to you on Galileo and how he made a statement about it, realised it was stupid, and then in this crazy, crazy world, it's the Renaissance. Oh my God, people think, wow, there'll be so much culture. Hardly anyone got to enjoy the culture. Well, it's hard to say. There wasn't a large middle class in there. There was a whole lot of soldiers and fighting. Yeah, it was just pretty, sort of like the Middle Ages with a bit of class. Okay, thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.